Blog Talk Radio.
You're the one that's
Jehovah Jireh. He's bigger than any problem you might be dealing with. You got to know that today. Hey, welcome to the Word at Noon. I am Louis Beasley, Apostle of Jesus Christ, called by the will of God to all the saints and faithful in Christ Jesus. So happy to know that you all are faithful in Christ. Hallelujah. I'm going to say that one more time. I'm happy to know that you are faithful in the Spirit of Christ. Hallelujah. We sure happy to have each and every one of you all. I'm going to ask Evangelist Sharon if she'll give us a word of prayer. I think Pastor's on the road, and she should be joining us shortly. That's what I'm just getting. So if you would, Evangelist Sharon, give us a word of prayer, and we're going to get into the review. And also, if you can read from the King James, that's fine. After Evangelist
Sharon. Yes, Pastor. Good afternoon, Pastor Beasley. Thank you for that selection. Good afternoon to all listeners. Praise God. What another beautiful day God has blessed us with. In Philippians 2, and 13, I believe. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings, disputing, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Yeah, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. Amen. Dear Lord, I want to thank you for this scripture and all your scriptures that will awaken and invigorate our spirits. I pray that you continue to open all our hearts and our minds so that the Holy Spirit can come where he already abides and can go forth with the work that you have ordained before the world. I pray for those who are sick, for those who are shut in, for those who are bereaved, for those who are in pain, for those who feel lost, for those who ask us to remember them in prayer, and for those who don't know prayer, I pray that you will open their eyes to prayer. I rebuke anything that will come up against this broadcast and our pastors, and may our Pastor Bell have travel mercy, and may Pastor Beasley be led by the Spirit in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you so much, Evangelist Sharon. And just to continue with that beautiful prayer, we do want to pray for the bereaved family that of Evangelist Sharon and her family, and also pastors. And I'm sorry I hadn't made mention of it before, but she's here, I think, burying her her older daughter's grandparents. So one of them anyway. And I know that can be very challenging. Just going through that bereavement thing can be challenging from time to time. So we want to continue to keep both of them. And Evangelist Sharon as well. She's real strong. I thank God for the spirit he's given her to endure these things. Hallelujah. So looky here, with further ado, we're going to get into the review this week. Mainly, Brother Sister, we've been talking about living and believing in this new thing. We have to believe in it. And I'm going to take a moment and say something about believing. It's acting on the Word of God. That's what, if you believe something, you act on it. How about that? Whatever you believe, if you believe that your car cannot run my car, forget the talking about how many horsepower you got and it's aerodynamic, da 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 da. Let's go put the pedal to the metal. See, when you believe it, you'll put the pedal to the metal.
Yes.
It's something you do, that something. And,
yes.
But this is a new and living way. It's believing in the Word of God per the Word of God. And I'm going to say this again because this is important. Believing in the Word of God per the Word of God. Because everybody don't believe in the Word of God per the Word of God. They believe in the Word of God per what they think, what they feel, what they used to do. No, you got to believe in the Word of God per the Word of God. And here's why. And this is a free nugget here. We didn't discuss this, but I'm going to give it to you. In John 15, he tells us to abide in the Word and the Word abide in us, around the seventh verse. And I said, Lord, what's really going on here? God said, well, see, if you're in my Word, what I do is I watch over my Word. I know you may not get it right now. You'll get it later on. He said, if you'll abide, living, and set up resident in my Word, he said, I'll watch over it. Because I'm going to watch over my Word. So that means I'm going to watch over you. Oh, hallelujah, man. That's awesome. If you're in the Word, you know God's eyes is on you. Hmm? Isn't that nice? Isn't that beautiful? To know that you got God's eyes on you. So wherever you go, God's watching you. He's taking care of you. He got your back. David said, if I made my bed in hell, God's going to watch me. He's going to go right down there with me, see? Our first scripture this week was in the book of Hebrews, the 10th chapter, and the 20th verse. I'm going to ask Evangelist Sharon if she read it out of the Messenger Bible, if she can. I guess I love the way you read out the Messenger Bible. I mean, you're good with the other, I guess. I love the way you do it. So I'm going to ask you if you'll read it out of the Messenger Bible. And Hebrews 10 and 20, it reads thus. By a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh.
Amen. And in the Messenger, it reads as follows. You said Hebrews 10 and 20?
Yes.
Okay. All right. I'm trying to get the right location. Okay. I apologize. My computer's moving slow. Okay. Every priest goes to work at the altar each day, offers the same old sacrifices year in, year out, and never makes a dent in the sin problem. As a priest, Christ made a single sacrifice for sin, and that was it. Then he sat down right beside God and waited for his enemies to cave in. It was a perfect sacrifice by a perfect person to a perfect, some very imperfect people. Amen.
Okay. I'm I think you're going to have to read up just a little bit.
A little bit more? Okay. All right.
Yeah.
By that single offering, he did everything that needed to be done for everyone who takes part in the purifying process. The Holy Spirit confirms this. The new plan I'm making with Israel isn't going to be written on paper, isn't going to be chiseled in stone. This time, I'm writing out the plan in them, carving it on the lining of their hearts. He concludes, I'll forever wipe the slate clean of their sins. Once sins are taken care of for good, there's no longer any need to offer sacrifices for them. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. And also, if you will, read Hebrews 19 through 21. Hebrews 10, 19 through 21.
Okay, and the messenger is titled, Don't Throw It All Away. So friends, we can now without hesitation walk right up to God into the holy place. Jesus has cleared the way by the blood of his sacrifice, acting as our priest before God. The curtain into God's presence is his body. So let's do it full of belief, confident that we're presentable inside and out. Let's keep a firm grip on the promises that keep us going. He always keeps his word. Let's see how inventive we can be, encouraging love and helping out, not avoiding worshiping, together as some do, but spurring each other on as we see the big day approaching. Amen.
Amen. So the most holy place in the temple was sealed from the view by a curtain, and only the high priest could enter this holy place or holy room. And he did so every once a year. He would go there, and they called that the Day of Atonement. So when he would offer the sacrifice for the nations of sin, but Jesus' death removed that curtain. Remember when Jesus died, the temple rent from top to bottom. Yeah. So all believers may now walk into God's presence at the time. So when you read Hebrews 6, and we'll go there too, we'll read Hebrews 6, 19 and 20. This is this new and living way. Aren't you glad you don't have to get the blood of a goat and bull? Ashes of a heifer. Jesus used his own blood for us. Man, that is just like awesome. So when we read this over here in 6 and 19, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which enter into that within the veil. Rather, the forerunner is for us eternal. Even Jesus made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek.
Amen. And the messenger reads as follows. We who have run for our very lives to God have every reason to grab the promised hope with both hands and never let go. It's an unbreakable spiritual lifeline, reaching past all appearances right to the very presence of God, where Jesus, running on ahead of us, has taken up his permanent post as high priest for us in the order of Melchizedek. Amen. Hallelujah.
So the curtain that hung across the entrance of the holy place to the most holy in the two innermost rooms, and what I want to show you is there was a place that only the high priest could go. Listen, brothers and sisters, You ought to love this new and living way. You don't have to get the bull, no blood of a bull or ox. This new living way, all you do is be in Christ. Hallelujah. I mean, it's like so easy. Now, everybody don't enter into that place. I think we discussed that one day. Remember, was it Hebrews 4? Let's go to Hebrews 4. I think that's where it was at. It was in Hebrews 4. One day we discussed that. Now, anybody have anything they want to discuss for Monday, you're more than welcome. But in Hebrews 4, let's see, 1, 2, 3. We'll read the first 3 verses. It says, "Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them." Let me underline that. See, the gospel was preached to them in the wilderness, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which believe do enter into the rest, For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, "As I sworn in my wrath, if any shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world." Well, I read the fourth verse too. I want to read the fourth verse too. So it says, for he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all of his work. Hallelujah.
Amen. And in the Messenger, Hebrews 4 reads as follows. It's titled, "When the Promises Are Mixed with Faith." For as long then as that promise of resting in him pulls us on to God's goal for us, we need to be careful that we're not disqualified. We receive the same promises as those people in the wilderness, but the promises didn't do them a bit of good because they didn't receive the promises with faith. If we believe, though, we'll experience that state of resting, but not if we don't have faith. Remember that God said, "Exasperate, I vow they'll never get where they're going, never be able to sit down and rest." God made that vow even though he finished his part before the foundation of the world. Somewhere it's written, God rested the seventh day, having completed his work. But in this other text, he says, they'll never be able to sit down and rest. So this promise has not yet been fulfilled. Those earlier ones never did get to the place of rest because they were disobedient. God keeps renewing the promise and setting the date as today, just as he did in David's Psalm centuries later than the original invitation. Today, please listen. Don't turn a deaf ear. And so this is still a live promise. It wasn't canceled at the time of Joshua. Otherwise, God wouldn't keep renewing the appointment for today. The promise of arrival and rest is still there for God's people. Amen.
Amen and amen. So some of Jesus' followers, and I want to call some of the Jewish followers. I'm going to go down and put that out there like that. And I could qualify that, but because they were Jewish Christians, according to the record, who had received this letter and had been on the verge of turning back. Now, you got to understand this too, brothers and sisters. This wasn't written for them to read it. They were living it. Just like we are living epistles, they were living this thing. They were living it. So they had come to a place, they had heard all this good word and heard about the promises of God, And some of them was on the verge of turning back. And what God said to them concerning the promise, that there was a rest. Help me, Holy Ghost. There was a rest. That rest was in Christ. So just as the people in Moses' day had turned back from the promised land, in both cases, people today are turning back because it can become overwhelming trying to live in Christ. So they want to turn back. Let me tell you this. The only thing going to keep you living this new and living way is faith. Faith is trusting in the word of God. Faith is acting on what Jesus has said. How do I know that? Because Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. How are you going to turn back on what Jesus said? Well, that's what they had to do. They had the gospel preached. Then they heard about the promises. And I got to tell you, people today, they're doubtful that God will fulfill his promise. Like today, God has fulfilled his promises. So when you read scriptures like 2 Corinthians 5:21, that's God's promise. He's fulfilling. And put a pin there, because I can go all the way back to Genesis.
Amen.
That's what I like about what we were talking about Friday. Brothers and sisters, it's God's will that we be in his will. It is God's will that we be like him. We're going to skip around a few minutes, but I want us to go to 2 Corinthians 5. And I remember in the review on Thursday, there were some profound things brought out. Pastor and Evangelist Sharon had brought out. And we're going to get into that, because this ties in with this. To be part of the promise today, and let me just take my time and say this, to be part of the promise today, you have to be in Christ, brother and sister. See, sometimes people don't combine the knowledge with their faith. Now, they got the knowledge, but they won't put it in faith. So to put it in faith means that you got to hear more word and act on the word of God. The more word you have, the more faith you have. The more faith you have, the more you trust in the word of God.
Yes. Amen.
Man, when God got that thing in my spirit this morning, he said, and I was meditating in the word of God. God said, I watch over my word. So if you'll be in my word and I'm in you, I have to watch over you. I don't have any choice. Hallelujah. Blessing went all over me. God said, I don't have any choice about you. He said, I have to watch over you. God has to watch over you. Because if you're in his word and his word is in you, because he has to watch over his word. So if his word is in a mosquito, God going to watch it. If his word is in a snake, God going to watch it. If his word is in a gorilla, God going to watch it. I don't care where it's clinging to. If God's word is in a fish, God got to watch over his word. So if God's word is in you, God don't have any choice. He got to watch over his word.
Yes.
Now, he don't watch over religion. He don't watch over denomination, but he watches over his word. And the only way you can enter into this rest or into the stuff of God, for a better way of saying it, is to enter into the word of God. So I'm going to ask Pastor, would she be so kind to read 2 Corinthians 5. I guess we can go from, 17 through 21? Yes. Okay.
17.
You there, Pastor?
Yes, Pastor, I'm here. Praise the Lord. Good afternoon, everyone. 2 Corinthians 5, beginning with the 17th verse from the King James. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not in putting their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead to be reconciled to God. For he had made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Amen.
Amen. And because of this decision, we don't evaluate people by what they have or how they look. We looked at the Messiah that way and got it all wrong. As you know, we certainly don't look at him that way anymore. Now we look inside. And what we see is that anyone united with the Messiah gets a fresh start, is created new. The old life is gone and a new life emerges. Look at it. All this comes from the God who settled the relationship between us and him and then called us to settle our relationships with each other. God put the world square with himself through the Messiah, giving the world a fresh start. By offering forgiveness of sins, God has given us the task of telling everyone what he is doing. We're Christ representatives. God uses us to persuade men and women to drop their differences and enter into God's work of making things right between them. We're speaking for Christ himself now, because friends with God, he's already a friend with you. Amen.
Amen. A believer is one who acts in this new creation. See, because the old things are passed away, religion, denomination, going to the temple, carrying blood, all of that, that's passed away. This is a new thing, a new day. And just like the children of Israel, when they was in the wilderness, they couldn't see it because the faith, they didn't want to act on it. That was the problem. And just like today, people don't want to act on it because they're not out there in the big wilderness. And notice, the gospel was preached to them outdoors in the wilderness, not in some building. That's what the Bible says. See, I didn't say this stuff. I read this. The gospel was preached to them. And that's interesting because the gospel is the good news. The good news is that you can enter into Christ. You can have the promise of eternal life, but you got to be in Christ to get it. Everything is in Christ. The old way of living has disappeared, and a whole new way of living has come into existence now.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
God done away with it. Remember, he had reconciled us. He restored us. He became our friend now. He's our friend. I know we was a little, you know, angry at each other. We was a little disagreement. God said, forget that. Put it all apart. Put it to the side. He said, here's my son, my offering to you, because I want to restore the relationship. And the thing that separated us anyway was singing. God said, I got an antidote for that.
Yes.
I just love it. He said, here's my son. I told you what God, I don't know if it was Wednesday or Thursday, but man, when you can see the miracle in that, that was a miracle.
Yes.
It was, and I was telling you all about the anesthesias when you go up under that and you get to sleep and you don't know anything until after it's all over with. And when you know anything, they done pulled the tooth or did the surgery. That's what happens when the word of God get in your spirit and you become a new person and you don't never see it that way anymore. You begin to see it that your relationship now is in harmony with Christ. You know why? Because you're in there with Christ. And God is watching over you like he watched over Christ. And he didn't think it was robbery to be equal with God. Now, Jesus didn't. So we shouldn't think it's robbery when we stand up and we say, hey, we're the very righteousness of God. We're perfect. See, the old way, people won't say that. They won't say they're perfect. Very few churches even teach that. You know why? Because they want to keep it in the flesh. And it's not a flesh thing. It's a spiritual thing. Christ is spirit. You know what? This is not really part of the review, but since I'm out here in it, let me go and tell y'all something. And maybe we'll discuss it next week, but I want you to know. When you said Christ, you're talking spirit. Now stop and think about what that is, the spirit of Christ. That means a spirit wants to embody you. That's why the Bible says, try the spirit, by the spirit, see if it be of God. Because there's a lot of spirits out here. So when the spirit comes in, it takes over. That's what the spirit does.
Yes.
Woo!
Hallelujah.
Reach out. Now, that's what the spirit does. The spirit takes over.
Yes.
Well, why do you think these liquor stores, they call them spirit? Because when you get that stuff up, it takes over. Yes, they're called spirit. It's real, brother, sister.
That's right.
I want y'all to know this. When the spirit, that's a job. That's what they call spirit. They takes over. So you can yield to the good spirit or you can yield to the bad spirit. That's what Paul was talking about in the 7th chapter of the book of Romans. Whatever you yield yourself to, that's what you become. So you need the good or bad. Whatever you give over to and that spirit takes over. So when we yield to the Holy Spirit or God's spirit, you got to try these spirits, man. So you see what spirit is taking over.
Yes.
I am going to point out a couple things we said. And if anybody else like to point out something, what we said about this particular scripture. Because Evangelist Sharon did make a statement I thought was just, really not really the phenomenal. But she pointed out the fact about 2 Corinthians 5. And I don't remember the exact words. But she said something it was so true or full of the truth or something like that, she said, in terms of relationship that we have with God. Because I'm going to tell you, I don't know a more profound scripture that teaches full truth as this one here wants to become a reality to you. Evangelist Sharon had said it was just full of truth. It would just take it in and act on it. So that's the part that got me. And then Pastor, she said something, and I don't want to miss nobody's words, but I thought it would be nice if we bring that out during the review. The thing that I saw in all of this was in the 18th verse, and I'll say that, and then anybody else want to have something to say, they can't. The 18th, it was still in 2 Corinthians 5 and 18. It said this. It says, and all things are of God. Woo, no, you didn't, Lord. You didn't do us like that. All things are of God. Not the pastor, not the deacon, not the preacher. All things is of God. You got to catch that, man. The stuff we're talking about is God's stuff. He did this. He reconciled us to himself. He did this. He did it for Jesus Christ. So man can't come out, I did this, and I sold chicken dinners, and I raised money, and I paid my tithes, and I did this. See, you can't do this. Can't be part of it. Can't be bringing your stuff up in here, talking about what you did. God said, I made friends with you. I brought you the roses, and we're going to put this back together. You know, when you're upset or you're going through something, and you want to make up, you bring something. So God said, I reconcile, I restore this relationship. He did it through Jesus Christ. But that's the part that still resting in me and burning in me. That God said, I did this stuff. Don't let folks fool you. Talking about they did this and they even built the church and they've been on this board and they've been in this choir and they did that. Da, da. See, that's fresh. Fresh. Let it die. Crucify.
Have mercy.
Talk about what you did. Let's talk about what God did. I want to be part of the
right.
tabernacle that God pitched and not man, Hebrews 9 and 1. Okay, go ahead. Pastor, Evangelist, whichever. Hallelujah. Because I'm getting ready to get excited. Oh, I got rid of a couple of folks just being. Hallelujah. It blesses me. They hear the truth and they start leaving.
Yes,
it's fine.
I want to praise the Lord. I want to read out the King James from 17 to 21. Is Pastor Bell still on the line? Okay. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is
she's still on the line. Pastor Bell.
All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who have reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and have given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, was reconciling the world unto himself, not in putting their trespasses unto them, and have committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now, then we are ambassadors of Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Amen. Hallelujah. And, you know, Pastor Beasley, you said something a while ago that was very, very important, and that the Word of God, no matter where the Word of God is, it could be in a tick, a fly, a gorilla, us, wherever it is, God's going to watch over it. But what you said was more important. You said per word, per. That means each word. That means don't leave anything out. Don't switch them around. Don't move them around. Per word. So I thought that was very important. That really touched my spirit when you said per, because I had to really just go and look up the definition, and it says each. So we have to pay attention to each word, each of God's words. So, and I think that just took a different type of settling in my spirit. Amen.
Amen, amen. Praise God. And I'll read
let me say this, that the scripture for that also is in Matthew 4 and 4. Man should not live by bread alone, but by every word. So that's just to kind of support that. But go ahead, Pastor.
Amen.
Sorry.
Amen. No problem. Amen. I'm going to read it from the Message Bible, 17 through 21. And I'm just searching through to see where I'm going to start at here. It says, now we looked inside, and what we see is that anyone united with the Messiah gets a fresh start, is created new. The old life is gone, a new life burgeons. Look at it. All this comes from the God who settled relationship between us and him, and then called us to settle our relationships with each other. God put the world square with himself through the Messiah, giving the world a fresh start by offering forgiveness of sins. God has given us the task of telling everyone what he is doing. We're Christ's representatives. God uses us to persuade men and women to drop their differences and enter into God's work of making things right between them. We're speaking for Christ himself now. Become friends with God. He's already a friend with you. How, you ask? in Christ. God put the wrong on him who never did anything wrong so we could be put right with God. And I was sharing that piggyback on what Evangelist Sharon was saying also. I like that verse where it tells us that we are ambassadors for him, and that if we're his ambassadors, we are representatives. And if we are his representatives, then we are his disciples. If we are his disciples, then we need to be about his word. Because over in 1 Peter 2 and 9, it says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." So being his ambassador, we're no longer are walking in darkness. We are children of the light now because we are in Christ. And I like it how when you said that, you made it clear that when we're talking about Christ, we're talking about the Spirit. And when we're talking about Jesus, we're talking about the man, that man Jesus. So, you know, thank God that now we are in Christ. As it tells us in that 17th verse, we are new creatures in Christ.
Hallelujah.
Old things passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So I just thank God for being in Christ and not just today, but every day. You know, we have to be reminded who we are. And then we have to know whose we are. So we are in Christ Jesus. And so thank you for, I mean, I'm telling you, this word is just so powerful when you just step back and think about it. And God did all this for us because in that 21st verse, it says, "For he had made him to be sin for us who knew no sin." So, see, he didn't have any sin. He didn't know sin, but he took our sins that we might be made the righteousness. Ooh, praise God. Of God in him. So to God be the glory. I'm thankful for the word. Amen. That's you, Pastor. Amen. And well,
you know, we could camp out there. Camp out there for just when I think about what an ambassador does, an ambassador is a representative. Now, what that look like? I'm from Russia, and I'm trying to tell y'all about China.
All right, ain't that gonna work?
Well, then ambassador, here an ambassador, they gotta represent where they from.
That's right.
Amen.
Right.
God gave us paper to represent where we're from. We're from Christ. We're seated at the right hand side. Pastor read that scripture. We're peculiar people. We're part of a royal priesthood. We're different. We're not from here. We're spiritual beings having human experience, but we're not from here.
All right, now.
Praise is at the right hand side of the Father because we're in Christ. So if we're talking to somebody, they say, "Well, where are you from?" "Hey, I'm representing heaven." "Yeah, I got to tell y'all what heaven's like. I got to tell y'all what's going on in heaven." "So when you go to church, heaven? How do you know that?" "Well, Hebrews 9:1 tell me Christ is my high priest, so that's who I'm dealing with. But I'm here to represent the kingdom of God. I'm here to tell you all what thus says the Lord, to give you this good news about God as your friend now."
Amen.
He wants us to be in Christ. So we praying for you that you'll get in Christ. Get into that spirit. That spirit takes over. That's what the spirit does. It takes over. Oh, yeah. If you got a spirit in you, it done took over.
Yeah.
Yes.
Amen.
You used to wonder why you made you were such a hell raiser because that's the spirit you left off in you. Yeah, that's what happens, brother. Sir.
Yes,
and you
sir.
Let
yes.
it take over. And when you let it take over, it go from one degree to another degree, from one degree to another degree. Make me curse like a failure. Woo, thank you for deliverance, Lord.
Yeah,
I used
hallelujah.
To fight anything to anybody. Woo, thank you, Lord, for deliverance. Yeah, I wasn't going out the house without my gun. I was packing.
Thank
yes, sir.
You
weren't going to catch me because that the spirit was in me, that spirit of fear. If somebody run up on you, you need to pop them.
Say that, Pastor.
All right.
Yeah.
All right
it's
now.
What spirit you let in you. That spirit of hate, that's because you have let it control your spirit. That's what a spirit does anyway. Can I say that one more time? Because I don't want nobody to be misunderstood. And I don't want to be misunderstood. I want you to know that I know what I'm talking about. Because when that spirit takes over, you can get real angry with somebody. And the more you give to that spirit, the more anger you're going to get. And then you're going to start doing some other thing because that's what that spirit used to do.
Hammers.
Yeah.
Hammers.
You may get into spirits one day. But you need to know, people, you can have 7,000 in you in one day. One time. 7,000.
Have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
Can you imagine if you got 7,000 spirits operating in you? Somebody tell me. Somebody better say stop it because I would be great. Yeah. That lunatic over there in Mark, he had a lesion. A legion is 7,000 Roman soldiers. That's what a legion is. And he had 7,000 of them bad boys up in there and made him cut himself, made him holler night and day. He would holler.
Yes.
That's what was going on.
Hammerstein.
Yeah, so whatever spirit you let in, that's what you are. Don't tell them how good you are. It's what spirit. If you don't let the good spirit in you, that's why the Bible said we need the good and the bad. It's what you let in you. See? But,
amen.
I thought all of, well, it was a bunch of stuff in here, and I could just, I'm going to tell you, I could camp out here all day. When I think about we are ambassadors, and we're talking to you in Christ's behalf, and we're telling you that God have made friends with us again, and it's been approved by God, and we need to tell people God ain't mad at you. He ain't holding your sins against you. Whoa, say that one more time, preacher. Because these preachers today, I guarantee you, I can go to about 90% of the churches. Organized churches are teaching you what an awful sinful life you're living. That's all they're going to teach you. They won't teach you to have a righteous conscience. They won't tell you that God took care of the sin problem. There, as far as he's concerned, there's no sin. Our biggest issue is we haven't received Christ yet. See, Christ has been born in us. I think we talked about that scripture, about Christ travailing. Didn't we talk about that a little bit?
Yes.
Did we talk about the
past? I'm on my book.
Is that over there? Galatians 4 and 19? Well, that's where that was at? Somebody help me out here. I'll go look it up, B. But I think it was in Galatians 4 and 19.
I'm sorry, Cass, I had to leave for a minute. And your question was again?
Thank you, Pastor. Could you read Galatians 4 and 19, please?
Yes. Galatians 4.
And as they find these scriptures, let me tell you, brother, sister, it ain't sin in you. Christ is in you. And it's a little process going on. So preachers getting up teaching how we're in condemnation. Stop preaching that garbage. People are not condemned. God already took care of the sin problem. Let these people be free. You got them wrestling with their sin issue.
Have mercy. So Galatians 4:19 from the King James. My little children, of whom I travail in birth, again unto Christ be formed in you. Amen.
Amen, amen. In the messenger, it reads as follows. In Galatians 4:19. You said Galatians 4:19? Is that correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Praise God. Okay. It reads as follows. It is a good thing to be passionate in doing good, but not just when I am in your presence. Can't you continue the same concern for both my person and my message when I'm away from you that you had when I was with you? Do you know I feel right now and will feel until Christ's life becomes a visible in our lives, like a mother in the pain of childbirth? Amen.
I finished reading that.
Okay, Pastor. Oh, I keep wishing that I was with you. Then I wouldn't be reduced to this blunt letter writing language out of sheer frustration. Amen.
Amen. Listen, brother and sister, a lot of people have Christ in them and they're in travailing. So don't be talking about what a ugly baby they got up in them. What a sinful looking baby they got in them. They're in travailing, man. They got pain. They're trying to bring forth Christ life in them. Well, I know that just went over a whole lot of people's head. Let me go back and make sure I get this clear.
Amen.
We're talking about God have took your sin out, and he placed Christ in you. Now, Christ is getting ready to be birthed in you. And what we were saying here is, until Christ be formed in you. So you're gonna make what's in you become retarded. Because you're confessing bad confession.
All right now.
Yeah, your bad confession. Oh, they ain't this and they ain't that. They ain't no good. They're condemned. And the Bible says in Romans 8:1, therefore is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Christ is being formed in a person. Yeah, they still got a few bad habits. Yeah, they still haven't let everything go. But remember, they're in travailing. They're travailing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right.
They're going through the pain. And it ain't easy all the time.
That's right.
They're going to get there.
Yeah, yeah.
After the pain is over with, I think joy comes. Somebody said joy comes in the morning. But I tell you what, when a woman have a baby, after she get through all of that, when she get through with all of that, and boom, that baby pops out, you talking about a smile.
Yeah. You got that right.
Most mothers, they have a beautiful smile on their face. They're happy.
Yeah.
And you know what? They don't really remember all that stuff. Most women that I talk to, they don't even remember all that. They're just so happy that baby got two legs and two arms and two eyes and they're touching them. And they rejoicing over the good stuff.
Amen.
See, that's the difference between being in an organ church and being in Christ. You're busy rejoicing over the good stuff God did for you, the good news.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm.
Y'all make me think up in here. Let me leave. Anybody else have anything they want to share? I'm going to get ready to preach up in here. I'm about to go in and preach to myself now. I got excited.
Mm-hmm. Well, Pastor, I was looking at Galatians 3:2 where it says, this only what I learned of you receive either spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith. So right there is the question, because it says, this only would I learn of you. Receive ye the spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? And we know that faith cometh by the word of God. And so we have to hear that word. And when you're talking about the spirit, I didn't read 20, but Evangelist Sharon did. So for chapter Galatians in verse 20, it says, I desire to be present with you now and to change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you. So, you know, and he was talking about them because they were still wanting to stay in that old way.
Yeah.
They wanted to stay under that law. The law is just what they say, a schoolmaster. I mean,
mm-hmm.
that's our school.
That's all it is.
Like that teacher, yeah, but like that teacher stand up there, you know, back in the old days, how that teacher stand up there with that stick and be pointing, you know. And that's what I think of when I think about the law, you know. But Christ came.
And now you got
and
that computer.
Away with that. Oh, yes.
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 Now you got the tablet. You got the smartphone.
Mm-hmm.
It's a new thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And I love
awesome.
It that he say, my little children, when he call us my little children. So we are children of Christ. I mean, I don't know. I'm like, Pastor, let me not go there, but I just thank God for his word. And like you say, just like it says, my little children of whom I travail in birth again unto Christ, be formed in you. So even though he went through the pain of it, boy, in the end, when you talk about joy, we all can shout because that joy is within us because we have been changed by the word of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, brothers and sisters, I thank each and every one of y'all. Unless someone else have anything, anybody else on here have anything they want to say, press one, or we'll let you in. And you got anything you want to share, open for it. Hallelujah. I just want to be a blessing to people when it comes to the word of God. Because the word bless my soul, I want to bless somebody else's soul. But thank you, Pastor, for bringing that out. Because that's usually the problem, especially when it comes to righteousness. We're so busy and we're so concerned about the law, what we should do, instead of being concerned about faith in Christ. Christ will fix it. You can put faith in it.
Yes, he will.
Well, if nothing else, I thank you all, and we'll see you all tomorrow for the word at noon.
God bless.